This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We're happy to have them on board, making this show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad. Thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Hi, bitches. Hi. Is that too much? Kate. Is that too much?
Wow. It's just so out of your realm.
I know. I feel very inspired by Michelle Buteau. I feel like her, just she kept calling herself like a big titty bitch and stuff. And I just loved it. And I thought, I'm doing it. It was too much. Maybe it's not me.
I don't know. You guys are very different people, but I think, hey, go for it, Robin. Why not?
Well, I'm not going to call myself a big titty bitch, but especially since I had the breast reduction, but whatever. Is this too much information?
I'm going to call myself a big titty bitch.
Go ahead,
it doesn't
Jamie.
Feel right. It doesn't
no, it
feel
doesn't.
Right.
We need to find our personal versions of big titty bitch. Let's think about that, and let's get back to our listeners soon.
Shorty. Shorty too shorty. That's what I am. Anyway, okay.
Okay, alrighty then.
We're getting off track. Okay, let's talk about our show.
For the best, let's talk about our show.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk, where your hosts are really, really scattered right now. But we're going to get it
over
together.
The place. All right.
Always.
Well, let's start with a news item before we get into our amazing interview today.
Yes.
We got a new member of the tribe, Jamie.
Yeah, and it's a good one.
Niecy Nash announced that she married a lady.
A lady. You know, she was married to a man, and he's a like a pastor too.
And then she was like, "That's dumb. I want a lady."
But she wasn't just married for like a year. This was
13 years.
Yeah, like a long time. And then all of a sudden, now she's married. She married a lady.
And then she came out and all of it.
It's amazing. She's hilarious. Does she have kids?
I love her so much. I don't know. What I know about Niecy Nash is, one, from Getting On, I loved her so much on that show. If you haven't seen it, it's on HBO. See it immediately or else you're dead to me. You're not at all. I still love you. I'm very, very, very aggro this morning.
I haven't seen any negative press, well, from the gays around this. But everybody seems to have really just embraced this. And everybody's like, yes, Niecy.
We're just so happy when anyone comes under our umbrella. Welcome that we're like, get in team. Here. Come on, it's dry under here. Come on.
She's so funny. I love her on Reno 911. I love her.
I'm telling you, please watch her on Getting On. It's like she's, I think,
is
what
that
she's
a movie?
Doing.
I don't know what
it is. No, it's a series. It was based on a British series. And they, of course, because we have no new ideas, we remade it as an American series.
We do it all the time to these British
but
series.
Laurie Metcalf's also in it and Alex Borstein. Oh. It is a killer cast. It is so well written. It is so funny. But what Niecy Nash does in it, I think she's so underrated as an actress.
I'm going to watch it. We need something new to watch. I just convinced Anne to watch Schitt's Creek. So we're starting that from the beginning. But I've seen it all.
Yeah.
So
you've
I need
seen
something
it all,
new.
Jamie. You've seen it all.
I've seen it all. It's still fun to watch over again because they're hilarious. But anyway.
Jamie, also, our book comes out next week. I did that like ASMR. Our book comes out next week.
That's so gross sounding. It's so weird. It's weird.
I love
but
it.
Yes, it does. Our book comes out next. Oh, my God. This has
that's
been a
how
long
I, how
time coming.
It. Oh, my God.
Because this was
so
supposed
long.
To come out in. No, but it was also supposed to come out in March. This book has been written for...
May, Jamie. It was May. Still, it's fine, Jamie. It's
so
okay.
Listen, this book has been written for almost 10 months. It's been done for 10 months.
I know, but you like what's funny is like in traditional publishing sense, what we did was fast.
Publishing.
Still in edibles. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
What's happening? I don't know what's going on with me this morning.
It's 9 in the morning.
I'm very hopped up.
We're tired. Anyway, so it's exciting and scary all at the same time. We hope you guys like it, but you're going to like it. Why wouldn't you like it? It's going to be it's a good
book. Now.
Yeah, please. Pre-order that. Pre-order it.
Oh, before we get to Living Rosa, one thing. We have to special thank you to our newest Patreon member. And Jamie, I don't even think that you and I can screw up this name.
This one's easy. Special thank you, special shout out to Courtney Brock. Yeah,
by the
Courtney.
Way, we're going to get an email that's like, it's actually pronounced Broquet. And we're going to be like, damn it. We really thought we nailed Courtney's name.
As soon as I saw it written in the script, I was like, oh, good. We got
we
one.
We could
easy.
Do it. Thank you, Courtney.
Brock. Courtney
welcome,
Brock.
Welcome you. To this, our Patreon umbrella. And folks, if you would like to join our Patreon community, where you are literally helping us cover operating expenses, but more importantly, you're going to get bonus content. We're talking videos, swag for joining. You just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
Yep. And then you're going to see all the cool stuff. And we also put unedited ad-free videos of some of our interviews up there. That's at the gestational carrier level because we got clever with the names of our levels. Michelle Buteau, the Michelle Buteau interview is up and she's even funnier in person, mainly because she understands camera effect. Yeah. Just like
I love
Rosie
that about
O'Donnell.
The performers. They understand it.
So she was talking to us on her phone, walking around her house, I might add, the whole time. And, you know, because she's like, whatever, I'm just going to chat with these ladies. But every time she had like a moment of effect where she had to like emphasize something, she would bring the phone right up to her face.
It looked so good.
Like, it was very effective. I'm going to start doing
I loved
doing
it.
That.
Made us laugh harder. I'm going to start doing that even in work meetings. I would like 5% increase in my budget. Ooga.
Oh, and if you say ooga. When you do it, too, that would make a big difference.
That's comic gold right there. All right.
There it is. Rosie O'Donnell did the same thing, but she would just look straight at the camera.
But she
like
didn't
deadpan.
Say ooga.
I think she should, though.
Maybe I should email her and let her know that going forward, whenever she wants to punctuate a joke, she should say ooga. And I mean,
ooga.
And she doesn't even have to credit me in doing it. I'm just happy to give her this information.
I don't think she would credit you. I think she might cease all contact with
I know
us.
She'd be like no habla inglés. Okay, our interview. Right. Jamie, who is our interview?
All right, so Living Rosa, they are YouTubers and social influencers. Their names are Tara and Mandy and they're pretty awesome. They have this beautiful family with 3 kids and a 4th on the way, and they handle parenthood like it's joyful. I don't understand
them.
I know.
They seem like the most organized and together millennials that I have ever met. No. And that, but they act like it just all comes naturally. Like they're like running this social media empire, right? And they don't even seem like they're sweating.
No, no. Like,
why are we sweating all the time with half their empire?
I don't know. She stays at home with the three kids and with
like it's nothing.
Like it's absolutely nothing. And then she handles the social media empire that they have.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I'll just do it. Look, like
when the babies are napping.
I stress out over every single post I put up.
And our posts aren't even good and we stress out. Oh, let's get to this interview, shall we? Because these two ladies are pretty delightful.
Yeah.
And they met on MySpace. Let's get to it.
That's even better. And they're better moms than us.
I mean,
who isn't?
Everybody.
Who isn't?
Everybody is.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
That was like syncopated, Jamie. We were like on the
same. I know. Look at us.
Look at us here with Tara and Mandy from Living Rosa. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We met these guys. Well, we kind of like virtually met at an event called Baby Boom, which is like an influencer event for people in the family space. And we were all like stalking them, like, please be on the podcast. And now,
well,
here we are.
It's so funny because this particular Baby Boom, they reached out to us because they want to diversify it. So they had the LGBTQ aspect and they had the people of color. They were really trying to diversify this event. And so Tara messaged me. I think we messaged each other. And when Tara said she was gay, I was like, I don't know. Or maybe I just stalked you on Instagram and saw that you were LGBTQ. And then I was like, oh my God, we have to have them. So that's how this happened.
What did you say? Hi, I'm Tara. No. I'm gay. Be my friend.
I definitely didn't say that. But I think I wrote that we were like, you know, same-sex parents in our little like bio. So she probably saw
it. She said, I'm gay, Tara.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
I said, hi, I'm gay. Have me on your podcast.
And I was like, I'm gay, Jamie. Nice to meet you. No, I also like went and stalked everybody on the social, like when I got a message. So
it was very unlike Jamie. We're both like sort of like the worst networkers ever. Like when we went to the original Baby Boom last year, we were like just standing in a corner. We were like, we have to go talk to people. And then we just wouldn't. We were like awful.
I worked really hard this time on the Baby Boom because I think it was virtual. I was like so comfortable. I was like, hey, I'm Tara.
Yeah, totally. Me too. I like reached out to a bunch of people and said, be sure to watch our live stream. Don't miss it, you know. So
guys, like we've been rambling on about ourselves, which is like annoying. So like, let's talk about you. You know, we always start with everybody with the 30-second elevator pitch.
Okay. I told Mandy to prepare for this. So
I was going to say who's doing this, but I'm doing it.
I told you that.
Oh God. Good thing I took notes.
Notes. I love the people who take notes.
You wrote it down. I wrote half of it down and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go on the Zoom call now. So I didn't get to finish.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing.
Just wing it.
Okay. Are you ready, Mandy?
I'm ready as I'll ever be, I guess.
Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. So we are Tara and Mandy. We're better known as Living Rosa on social media. We met on MySpace, very retro, in 2006. And then in 2008, I moved to New York to be just friends with Tara, but then we ended up getting married in 2014. 2015, we had our first child. We had our children through reciprocal IVF. So basically, they took Tara's eggs with donor sperm and put them into me, and now we're having our fourth baby.
Dun, dun, dun.
Done.
Oh my God. Amazing.
That was like really well done.
Because you're going, go, go, go.
I know. For the people that couldn't see, Tara was literally being like, hurry up.
To her. I know. I was like, oh God. I looked at this for 2 seconds.
I'm not competitive. No, not at all.
It doesn't even matter. It's just a fun game we play. So, Mandy, have you given birth to all the children?
Wait, I have to know about MySpace before you go into that.
Okay. Okay. All right. MySpace.
Like, how did anybody meet on MySpace?
So, what year did you say it was?
2006.
Yeah. So, I had this like little independent online magazine with my friends in high school, and we interviewed bands. And I guess we interviewed a band from her hometown that like came to New York. She's from Illinois. So for some reason, that's how like we got friends through MySpace. And then I slid into her like messages, her DMs.
I think it was called an inbox back then.
Yeah, the inbox.
Yes. You've got mail. Yeah.
And then we just started talking about music. And then, you know, the rest is history. Then we made babies.
Oh, you guys have been together basically your whole lives, it feels like. Because you were in high school in 06.
Yeah, I just had graduated high school and you were still in high school.
I graduated 07, yeah.
Wow. Meant to be, huh?
Crazy.
I love it. And when you first met on MySpace, You were not gay?
No.
No.
They never
well,
maybe
are.
We were. I don't know.
Well, you probably were. You just weren't out. So how'd that go down?
Well, it's really complicated, but I'll try to sum it up. So we were friends and we decided that I was going to go visit her because we never actually met. So we were just like talking.
And her parents were crazy enough to let us do that.
Yeah, they were. But like your mom picked me up at the airport. So so we hung out and we were still like just friends. But I think like, I don't know, it was weird. I feel like, I don't know. It was like, not really, we weren't friends, but like, you know, we didn't.
Because there was always like this underlying feeling of like,
We loved each other.
I think I really like this person.
We loved each other as friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
really good friends.
Right. Yeah.
We had pet names for each other. I used to call her Cupcake.
It was really gay.
It was the gayest thing ever.
Nothing physical, I guess.
That's pretty gay. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm never calling Jamie Cupcake.
Absolutely not.
So that's pretty gay.
Yeah, it was pretty gay. We don't even do that anymore. That's how.
We have 400 children.
But yeah, so then I think we visited a few times. And then
I came and spent like the entire summer here.
Right.
And that was like when it all went down.
That's when the physical contact happened.
Yeah.
Right.
It took a long time, huh?
Yeah. We visited each other back and forth for like every other month. So it didn't really take that long.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it was in 2007.
When was the moment either of you knew, oh, this is more than that?
I think we both knew, but we just didn't discuss it.
Yeah.
Right.
So you knew like deep down, like I have a serious crush on her, but I'm just not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We both like knew and we both were like fine with it, but we didn't talk about it because how our first kiss happened was like, we were just like always so like close to each other. So I was like, Mandy, if you don't move, I'm going to kiss you. And she didn't move. And I was like, well,
There we go.
Oh my God. That's so amazing. Sweet.
Yeah.
Those crushes are the worst. And to not be able to talk about it, that is so hard. Like you're just obsessed, right?
It was real weird.
It was.
Were you talking about each other to other friends?
No.
No.
No. So we were actually like closeted for a long time after that. When did we come out? I don't even know. Should have brushed up on my notes.
Like 2011?
Yeah, our first kiss happened in 2007, and we didn't come out till 2011 to anybody.
But what? You were together then?
Yeah, kind of like off and on. Like
we were always together, but we like invited us to, you know, explore other options.
So did you guys date other people during like from 07 to 11?
Yeah, like we went on dates. We didn't like date anybody long term, but like we went on.
Because we felt like we were so young. Like I feel like we felt like we had to figure out what we were doing because neither of us had been with
another woman
before. So we're like, is it just her?
Right.
Or is it like this is. Like,
and I think because Mandy moved into my house, like she moved into my dad's house. So she was living in my dad's house, sleeping in the same bed as me. And we were just like gay together, but like nobody knew. So it was weird.
But everybody knew secretly.
Yeah. I don't know if they knew like in the beginning because we were dating other people. Like I had guys at my house sometimes,
which was so annoying.
Okay. That's my next question. So Mandy, when a guy was over or one of you was going on a date with someone else, even if it was a girl, what was that like?
Well, her and one of our old friends set up a dating profile for me as like a joke because they were like, Mandy needs to go date people, which I was like low key annoyed at.
Yeah, that was her idea.
And then
you just
went
along with it because you were hiding.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Plenty of fish.
Which I think is like a hookup site.
But I went on a few dates with guys from then and it just like did not work out.
Yeah,
but I mean,
we were dating, but like really, we went on a date, and then we're like, yeah, we don't like that person.
Yeah,
like
that's
how.
But were you worried, Tara, when she went on dates? Like, I would be at home, like, oh my god, this is not okay.
We were so weird. Really weird stage of our life.
Yeah.
After we came out, everything was much better.
Yeah.
And I love, and you guys keep saying we came out because you came out together.
Yeah.
It's like your whole experience is together.
Yeah.
I think we both kind of like had some internalized homophobia where we were afraid to come out to ourselves. I don't think it was that other people would judge us. I think it was like more like how I felt about myself
or how I felt about other people feeling about me.
Yep. I went through a lot of that.
I had a hard time
coming
out to myself too.
It's not easy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Because I knew like my family and I even knew Mandy's family, like they would either get over it or they would be okay with it. Like I wasn't ever scared of that. So I think it had to do a lot with like me. And I think you were probably ready before me. I kind of was like, let's wait.
Yeah.
So did you guys have conversations like, do you want to come out? Should we come out together now? Like, was it like, it was going to be a joint coming out?
I don't really even remember like why we decided to come out.
I think I knew that like my relationship with Mandy was never going to end. So I was like, well, if it's not going to, like, now that I know that like it's not going to end, then I'm good to come out because why? I'm not going to hide forever. But I guess I was like just testing the waters because I was like, well, if this relationship ends, I don't want to like come out and then like we're not together.
For no reason. You'd be like, well, that was dumb.
But I was like, yep, Mandy's the one. So I'm going to tell everybody.
I mean, this is 5 years in, 06 to 11, basically.
Yeah.
And when did you start talking about kids and like how old were you?
We actually started talking about kids before we even got married. We saw a fertility doctor
before we got married
because we knew that it was going to be a very long process for us to try to have kids. So we wanted to like get our answers.
Right.
We came back from our honeymoon and we were like, all right, it's baby making time. Let's do this.
Wow. And so how old were you at that point? Like,
I got married when we were 26 and you were what?
24, 25.
Wow. I was so far from ready for that.
I'm like I'm so impressed and also just like, I wish I had had my shit together at that age. And
I know.
Like, it's just like, I was so much older. And I mean, I didn't meet Mary till I was 33, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I didn't meet Anne till I was 30, but I was not ready even then. Nope.
We both always knew that we wanted to have our kids younger because we wanted to like do things with them when we were older.
Yeah.
Like go on vacations. Who knows if we'll ever go on a vacation again, but
it could happen.
Damn COVID.
Robin.
Yes, Jamie.
Let's talk about BetterHelp.
It's
my favorite.
Can we please?
Yes, it's my favorite. Life is really stressful right now. And I don't know what I would do without my online therapy.
I don't know honestly. What I would do without your online therapy either. I think that everyone could use a little BetterHelp right now, myself included.
Yeah, because I'm not taking the risk of going anywhere that I don't absolutely have to go. And so with BetterHelp, I have my own licensed therapist that they matched me with right from my computer. She's great. I love her. And I can go into my account and I can message her at any time, which I don't do. I don't do that often because I don't want to bug her.
You should do. Yeah, you don't want to bug her.
I probably bug her with my sessions, but it was super easy to sign up. And it was like a simple questionnaire. And I was talking to my lady within 24 hours. It's easy. It's great.
And you know what? I think that people should also know that BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's literally professional counseling that's done securely online. And they have this really wide range of expertise that's available because it's virtual. So, I mean, and that might not be available in your hometown. So I think it's pretty cool. So, and it's available worldwide.
Yeah, it's a win for everyone. And here's another great thing. It is more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And financial aid is available. So if you don't do it, you should. It's great. I love my lady.
You're crazy if you don't do it. You see what
you're
I did
crazy
there?
If you don't. So listen, BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. You can visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional like myself. I mean, I'm not the professional.
Yeah, you're definitely not. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. You guys are going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT. I mean, what are you waiting for, folks?
Go get that help. Don't leave your house and don't touch your face.
Okay, Jamie.
So did you know from the start that you guys wanted to do reciprocal IVF?
No. We thought we like invented it for a while. We came up, we were like, first we were talking back and forth about like asking our brothers to be a sperm donor, but then we decided that would be like too weird. So then we were like, well, what if they did an egg from you and put it in me? And we thought we were like innovators. We're like, wow, this is amazing. We go to the doctor and he's like, oh yeah, we can do that. We did that to someone like 2 months ago. And we're like, oh, okay, so we didn't invent it?
That's amazing.
You did invent it. You take that.
So when you go to the fertility doctor and you say, we have this idea, and he's like, yeah, we can do that. Was that was it? You knew that was going to be the way, even though you heard the cost associated with that?
Well, they did some testing and stuff, and it turns out that I have the egg quality of like a 65-year-old woman.
Oh, no.
Really?
So they said,
even at 26.
Yeah. Wow. He was like, if you were in a heterosexual relationship, you would still be in my office, and you would probably have to get either donated embryos or donated eggs. Mm-hmm. So he's like, scientifically, you guys are making the right decision.
Yeah, he was on board.
It's almost like you got to cut corners because you found that out right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But did
we knew the cost before we saw him, and our thought process was we did some research and we heard like so many people did IUI like 5 times before they got pregnant, and I was adding up the numbers and I was like, I would like to just like skip that fee and just like jump right into it and like have better chances with like IVF. Mm-hmm. So that was like our thought process.
And she has no desire to be pregnant whatsoever.
No.
Oh, no.
That's a smart move. Sorry, said it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I love watching you do it, but for me, no.
Mandy, did you have any feelings about not being your genetics involved?
No. I think like a random stranger could like hand me a baby off the street and I would love it like it was my own. That's never so really nice. Bothered me. It did make me like appreciate the way that we made our family, because it was like, oh, it was like we are meant to be together. Like,
yeah,
the universe put us together and this was supposed to happen. That my egg quality sucks. I think in the beginning, though, when we first told our families, I think my mom actually struggled with the idea of it, that I wouldn't have a child that was biologically mine. Yeah, I think, Tara.
Yeah.
That the we won't go into that because I don't want to say anything about my mother. But then I think after they were born and she saw it, she didn't care anymore. And she's like, she like tells her friends, oh, they took Tara's egg and put it into Mandy and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, she like and talks about everyone, how beautiful it was.
And Lennon kind of looks like me. Isn't that crazy? And I'm like, well, she's your grandchild. So yeah, anything's possible. So,
oh my God, it's amazing. We learned from another guest, actually, who
adopted mom.
Who adopted, and she said there was this study, because clearly we haven't read any studies, but she told us that there's this study that they did that babies will start to take on the facial expressions of the parent that is taking care of them, no matter what, genetics or not. Mm-hmm. And so the baby's face will start to look like the parent's in a certain way just because they're
mimicking
the parent's facial expressions, which is interesting and also really cool for families like ours, because there's always a non-bio mom involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maeve definitely smiles like me.
Yeah. Everyone says that.
Yeah. When I smile, like when I get like super excited, my nose like scrunches up and Maeve does that. Oh, she's always done that.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, she has my smile.
Yeah. She just takes that. You know, it's really, it's cool. I love it. I love that about our families. And I love that you guys like, a lot of times, like we look at this, like when somebody says they got poor egg quality, there's a sadness there. Mm-hmm. And there's there's a bit of a sob story about that, the loss that happens. But you guys just, it's such a positive spin. I love it. It's not always how we hear it.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. I think there might've been like a part of me that was sad for like a second, but then it worked out for us. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, well, this is how it's supposed to be. And I think honestly, like, because I carried them, I grew them and my blood went through them and I ate to make them grow. So like, what's to say that they're not mine either?
My wife and I looked into reciprocal IVF, and that's what we were going to do, but we ended up changing it. But we used to talk about, we thought it was the coolest thing that like the kid's bones would have been made from her, even though it was my egg. And so like the kid is literally of you, even though it's her genetic blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you influence what genes are turned on and off in utero, which based on who you are. I mean, I don't think the kid would be the same kid if Tara had carried.
Probably not.
No. And that's what one thing that like bothers me, like on social media, people always like say, oh,
Don't you want your
Mandy
own kids?
Want to have her own kid? I'm like, these kids are like 1,000% my kids.
Yeah.
Whether I grew them or she grew them or somebody else grew them, they're my kids.
And it also makes me wonder, like, in retrospect, like, I know some people will have, like, they'll use Mandy's eggs and they'll use, like, my eggs to have, like, lots of kids or whatever.
People switch.
Yeah. And then my thought process is, well, would you look at them and say, like, well, that's Tara's kid and that's Mandy's kid? Like, yeah. I wouldn't want that either. Like, no, those would have been our kids, like, regardless.
Yeah. But you know people would compare them because that's just what people do.
Yeah.
It's true. We talked to some, like, gay male couples who have, they have had twins, but the sperm went into, one guy's sperm went into this egg, and then the other guy's sperm went into this egg. So they're twins, but each one of them is genetically related to one of them.
Right.
And people ask, well, who's the real father? And a lot of we've only had one couple who's like open and honest about it and like doesn't care that people ask that. Everybody else gets pretty like, how would you say,
bunched.
Robin?
Just
annoyed. Like, exactly. That's none of your business. They're both mine. They're ours. Yeah. You know?
I can understand why people ask because they're just genuinely curious.
Yeah.
They don't realize that what they're asking is offensive. They just want to know because they're nosy.
Or that you've been asked that 100 times.
Yeah.
So you have 3 kids now and you're pregnant now, correct?
Yes.
And you have twins. The twins are first or second?
Second.
That was a surprise.
It was a surprise and everyone tells us that it shouldn't have been a surprise.
Did you put more than one embryo in?
We did.
So, yeah, but there's a story though. That's what everyone says. Like, you put 2 embryos in, you should know that they were going to be 2. So when we went to have our first baby, the doctor was like, okay, like, you're young, you're healthy, Mandy's uterus looks great, Tara's eggs are awesome, best quality ever, like, we're only putting 1 in, this is gonna work.
Give us this whole speech about tiny coffins, if we had
multiples, like,
all this stuff, scared the crap out of us.
So we were like, okay, yeah, like, he's right, 1, like, definitely. So we did 1, and nothing happened. So the next time, we were like, you know, this is a big, like, expense, like, what's the worst can happen? We have 2 babies. Like, I think you can handle being pregnant with twins. And also, we want 4 kids. So, you know, so we were like, we're putting 2 in. So we put 2 in and we had a chemical pregnancy and nothing. So that we're down 3 embryos now.
Wow.
We only had 5.
We only had 5. So the next time we put 2 in again and we were like, well, we're doing 2 again because we went through 3 already. So we did 2 and we got 1 baby. So great. We got pregnant. We went through 5 embryos to get 1 baby. So the next time I was like, we're doing it again. We're doing 2. Like, probably just get 1, maybe if we're lucky. We got 2.
We had some medication to us. So we did like more injections.
Yeah.
More embryos. Yeah. Because we knew we wanted 4 kids and we had 1 embryo left.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, we got all this donated medication, which is like $6,000.
And it expires.
So we're doing more injections.
And wait. Can you tell me donated medication? Can you go into that a little bit? I mean, I don't think we've ever talked about that.
Tara's stepmom, her brother and his wife did IVF.
Yeah.
And they had like a ton of medication left over. And they knew that we already had Lennon at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that we did IVF to have Lennon. And they're like, oh, we have all this leftover medication. Do you guys want it? And we were like, yeah, we do.
Yeah. So our doctor was actually really nice. And like, I don't think it was the medication that he normally used, but he like altered our plan so it would fit for us. So
that's cool.
Right. And for the second, Tara, did you have to go through the process again too? Because you had 1 embryo left, right? Or you had no embryos.
Yeah, that 1 embryo that we have from the first round of IVF, we still have that one frozen because we've used the second batch now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you had to do the injections. And
yeah, I had to do the injections all over again.
Right. So you had to extract more eggs. And did you get like, I want to know how many eggs you got on every extraction because I'm crazy like that and I went through a lot of IVF.
Do you remember your better?
Well, our doctor was like really good about making sure that you didn't overstimulate because some doctors just like pump you full of all this medicine and they're like, you got 35 eggs.
But and then like
5 of them are good.
Yeah.
So I think the first time you had gotten 8 and 6 made it to fertilization.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then the second time, I think you got 12, but only seven or eight mm-hmm. made it to fertilization. But when we went in for the embryo transfer for the second one with Everett and Maeve, Everett and Maeve's embryos were the only two ready that day. They're like, the other ones are still growing. These two are perfect and ready to go. So we should have known then that we were going to get pregnant with twins because they were both ready.
Oh my God. That's so, I love that though. Meant to be.
I love having twins though.
I was curious about that. Stunk,
but it really wasn't that bad. I mean,
did you go
hard,
really
but
early?
It wasn't that bad.
How long did you make it before you delivered?
I was 35 weeks and one day.
Wow.
They were 5 pounds, but they didn't have to go to the NICU or anything.
Yeah, we were really lucky.
Yeah.
Wow. How far apart are the first and the second?
20 months, right?
Yeah, 20 months.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys were no joke.
Wait, what's the age difference with the baby that's going to be in a month?
So our twins just turned 3.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's a little bit more
time. Yeah.
Give yourself a little break. Yeah. But why 4?
I don't know. We just always said 4. Growing up, I just had a brother. It was just me and my brother. And we're really not that close. And my mom's side of the family, she's the oldest of 10 siblings. Mm. So like holidays are always super fun, like on my mom's side of the family. And I always knew that I wanted to have more than 2 kids because it was so boring with me and my brother. And holidays were so fun with my mom. And she came from 3.
Right.
She hates odd numbers.
I think 3 is a terrible number because there's always one kid that's left out. They like gang up on each other. It was just not very good. And like, even now I see it with our kids, like Lennon will always pick which twin she wants to play with for the day. Oh. I'm like, you have to play with both of them. Like,
or the twins will play with each other and leave her out.
Yeah. Or the twins will be like, no, Lennon, you're not invited.
I wanted to ask, like, after having twins, like, I don't know if you had a C-section or if you went naturally or like, is it hard to go back to like a singleton after having twins, or is that just like easy? At this point, is it just like you're a kangaroo mom and you're just putting babies in there, taking them out?
Oh my God. I had a C-section with the twins. I was planning not to have a C-section, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird because I don't really remember what it's like to be pregnant with one baby.
Are you all like, this is so easy?
Yeah. I mean, now it's like getting hard because I only have a few weeks left. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm like, okay, like I'm done being pregnant now. Mm-hmm. But like, for instance, when I was pregnant with the twins, they were due in August and I took off from work June 1st because I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. You're like, I can't
anymore. I'm still working now. Like, but I'm not one to complain very much.
Yeah, you're really a good pregnant person.
I don't complain.
I would never be able to tell you're having a baby in a couple weeks. Like, never. You just seem so, like, together and just, like, I was, like, huffing and puffing at the end. I was on, you know, like, you're just, like.
You try to bend over.
So you have all these kids. They're close together. You're young. Like, how did you, like, decide you were going to start to do YouTube and, like, start to document your family? And by the way, I love that you do it because Jamie and I always talk about how representation matters. And I feel like you're out there really like showcasing a family and showing that we're just like you, except we're 2 moms.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I think we started YouTube before we started our family. So, we started YouTube because we wanted to document creating our family.
Because when we thought we invented reciprocal IVF, we couldn't find any information about it. Yeah. So we were like, let's record this. So if anybody else wants information about it,
we were gonna teach
maybe when they Google
it,
they'll find us.
Right. Right.
And I think we also wanted to, so like one day we can just, you know, show our kids like what we did to create them and like how we went about making them. So I think the plan was to just like do the process of creating our family, not like vlogs like we do now. It just kind of turned into that because we started throwing up videos and we got some like people following us and then we got a little community going and we made friends and it just kind of evolved. And then
we were
going to
stop after Lennon was born.
Right. All of a sudden it was like Hallmark was like, oh, we want to pay you to like promote our product. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, what is going on? I'm like, wow. This is crazy. You can make money doing this. And at the time, like I was a full-time nanny. So it just kind of evolved and you had Lennon and I was still a nanny. The family that I worked for was amazing. And they were just like, well, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to bring the baby with you. Right. And I was like, sure. Wow.
So
I had,
that's cool.
Yeah. We're still friends with them. So then when she was pregnant with the twins, I was still working for them. And I was like, well, I can't do it. Like, I can't bring Lennon and the twins. And their kids were actually like going off to school at this point. So it was like perfect, like transition time of like their kids were going to go to school. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll just like, you know, continue with this.
See how much money I can make from doing this.
Yeah. This little platform that we have going on here.
It's amazing. Every time we talk to an influencer, I try to pick your brains because how did you get so many followers? Robin and I try to go viral all the time. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen.
I wasn't trying. Like, I know people try. Like, I've heard people say like, oh, let's do this networking thing. And I honestly don't know. Like, I'm just like being me and trying to, I mean, I know like a couple times, like we've made friends who were also making videos and like we would talk with them and we would get a little, like get some of their following. But other than that, like, I don't know how we grew out of
nowhere.
Yeah,
it's not like we released like a viral video or anything like that. It just kind of happened.
Well, I mean, what year was it when you started?
2014. Yeah.
So, I mean, I imagine there weren't a ton of like same-sex couples documenting pregnancy. So I imagine that helped.
Yeah, it was like us and I think like a group of like maybe four other people that I can think of that I saw on YouTube.
Yeah.
So we connected with them. And
not to like toot our own horns or anything, but I feel like part of the reason that people like us is because like we're a same-sex couple, but we're not like in your face like, hey, we're two moms. Like we're a family and we're normal. And
we're
not like in your face genuine. Like trying to tell you that we're gay. We're just us.
Well, my favorite is like our like the followers that we have that are like, hey, I'm not gay, but I love you. And I'm like, okay, you could still love us. Like, you don't have to be gay to be here. Like, and you didn't have to tell me that, but thank you. Like, I don't know. It's just really funny.
It's like they feel like they have to come out to you.
Right.
And how do you fit it all in with young kids? Like, I mean, you guys are posting videos pretty close to daily.
Yeah, we post 5 days a week. So it's a lot. I do editing at night and
she pretty much does everything for this.
It's a lot of work.
I try to do like emails, you know, when the kids are eating and stuff.
And lately one day a week, her aunt has been coming over and like playing with the girls for a couple hours and she'll like lock herself in here and get like a bunch of work done.
And so are you always like worried about creating content? Are you always like, is your phone always at the ready?
No.
I think we're pretty laid back. Like,
like you were saying the other day, like you've heard like people like plan their Instagram posts and stuff.
Yeah. And now I feel like a lot of pressure. I'm like, should I be planning my posts? Because I literally write the post and then I give it to Mandy and I'm saying, can you proofread this? Because I'm terrible at spelling. So that's her job and everything. And then I'm like, it gets posted. Like, I'm like, I would never like plan out, oh, Monday I'm gonna post this. I mean, unless it's like a sponsored post, you have to plan it out. But
yeah,
but like you'll just get like a cute picture of the kids and you'll be like, oh, I'm gonna post this.
I feel like it's a lot of pressure once you start like looking at what other people are doing, so I try to like stay away from that because I feel like once I feel the pressure's on, then I get overwhelmed and I'm like, you know, not a great mother either when I'm trying to stay home and take care of three kids. So
It's a lot.
Yeah, like it never feels like you're a good person when you're like, I'm sorry, I really just have to capture this for social media. It's like, especially as a parent, it's like, ugh.
Right. Yeah, with our kids, it's like, if they don't want the camera on them, then the camera's not going on that day. It's like, I'm not going to, like, sometimes they will love the camera. They'll be like, get the vlog. Like, I'm going to do this. And then other days it's like, nope. And we're like, okay, like,
but there's so many people like on YouTube and stuff that won't say no to that. If their kid says no, they're like, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like YouTube has turned into this like not too friendly space, I've noticed. So
I like that you're not like influencers first. You're just kind of like, it seems like you still have that same thought process of just wanting to share your story.
Yeah, well, for me, it's like, I love this. I love that it turned into a job because I always wanted to have like a career, but I also always wanted to be like a stay-at-home mom and I didn't want to have to send my kids to daycare. So for me, editing is like a hobby of mine. Like I love editing cute videos of my kids. Like I love watching them and like things that they do. And it's just really fun for me. So I feel like this is like the perfect job for me. And then also in return, we get like the sweetest messages from like our followers or, you know, people that are just like, thank you for posting. Like, it makes my day. And I'm like, how did I make your day with just doing something that I love? Like, that's amazing.
But
like,
it's, I don't think it's just the videos either. Like, to compliment you.
Oh,
when you post an Instagram picture, you type like such heartfelt things instead of just being like hanging out by the pool, fish emoji. Right. Like, yeah. You like what you type like comes from your heart. And it's like a sweet story.
Yeah, well, I also like writing too.
You like writing. And before all of this happened, she had like a Tumblr. I don't know if you guys know what Tumblr is.
Yeah.
She would like type like these long posts on Tumblr that were just like so beautifully written.
You're so sweet.
I know. Please, I'm embarrassing stop. You.
Oh, you guys are
she
so
She doesn't funny. Like to be complimented.
So it's so cute, though. It's like, I'm so heartened to see you with three kids and a fourth on the way, just still like being so loving. We suck, Jamie. We gotta be nicer to our wives.
We gotta do better.
We're gonna do better.
I'm almost like afraid to ask this question because I know you're gonna come out of this way better than Robin or I do. But how has it been parenting during COVID?
I think for myself, it's been a little more difficult when we were like in quarantine mode because I would like leave and go to work.
Right. Yeah.
My mom and Tara would always joke like, oh, Mandy doesn't have to go to work. Mandy needs to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has the patience of a saint. Like, I don't know how you, some days I'm like, how do you deal with all three of them and talk to them so calmly? And I'm over here like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, it was a little more difficult, but I also ended up appreciating it more because I feel like I got to get to know my kids on a different level that I didn't really see. Like during the day when I was at work, it was like I got to know who they were more. And then when I went back to work, I cried like a baby.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can't wait to go back.
Jamie,
to
they're
work.
Definitely better than we are. That's it.
They
That's...
are. And Tara, you've loved every minute, right?
It's yeah. Just... I mean, I would like to go out to go to the park. You know, I need to get out of this house. It's like Lennon loves to do crafts and there's only so many craft ideas I can find and almost only so much paper that we actually have. I'm like looking on Pinterest and she's like, what's the next craft? What's the next craft? I'm like, I just did one with you. Like, that's it.
You spend like 20 minutes setting up the craft and it's over in like three.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter loves crafts too. And I don't.
I hate crafting. Is she kindergarten this fall if she gets to go back?
Yeah, she's supposed to be going to kindergarten.
That's probably good because, I mean, if and when we all get to go anywhere, but like when she does, that'll balance the house back to three at home. Like, that's probably good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, except we decided that she's not going to school.
Yeah.
Are you homeschooling?
Oh, you're going to keep her?
Yeah. We're going to keep her home this year. I would love to send her to school, but, you know, circumstances and...
Oh, it's a crazy time.
It's like, scary. How do I send her to school as a kindergartner? A full day where she's never gone to school for a full day, wearing a mask, and then coming home to a newborn. Like, it just doesn't seem right to be adding up. So
everything's so unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just like too risky.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, we're all in that place of trying to figure out what to do. Like, I was so happy that my school changed the plans from hybrid to remote only. I don't know for how long, but I was so happy because that they made the decision because my kids want to go back. Mm-hmm. But I didn't necessarily want them to go, and my wife doesn't. And I'm like, ugh. But I'm like, I'm glad the school said it, so I didn't have to be the one to say it.
Right.
Well, how can folks, will you tell everybody, like, about all your projects and where they can follow you and join your little community? And by little, I mean giant.
So we have an Instagram, Living Rosa, and you can also find us on YouTube, Living Rosa. And we also started a podcast during quarantine, but it's now we're taking a break.
You're on
hiatus.
You
do that, right?
You're on hiatus.
You take breaks. And then
season one was over.
Season one was like four episodes maybe. And now we're gearing up for season two.
Wait, let me just say, you're in pre-production for season two.
Yeah, we're planning. We're planning.
Yeah.
So is it based on your family as well, the podcast?
So the idea of our podcast was that we were going to, you know, not talk about our kids because everything is just so involved with our kids, all our other platforms. It's like cute pictures of our kids and cute videos of our kids. So we were going to talk about, you know, Tara and Mandy.
Yeah, we talked about like our coming out stories and how we met.
Mm-hmm. The more juicy stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. And that's called Everything's Coming Up Rosa, right?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, we're so glad you guys made the time to sit and chat with us. This was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
A lot of fun.
All those two.
Wow. They really put us to shame, I think.
One of them emailed me and said that they got so excited doing this that they were like thinking of bringing their podcast back. And Jamie, if they do that with a newborn and four kids, I'm going to be so embarrassed that we don't own a television network or something.
And like, their whole social media empire. That just kind of happens. How come everybody we talk to about
just
social
juggling it all?
Oh, just kind of happens. It just happens.
My pictures just go viral. Like, no big deal.
I've been trying to make one of our pictures go viral.
I know. Why aren't we viral, Jamie? Damn it.
Because nobody wants to look at us. They barely even want to listen to us. They tune in for the interviews, Robin. And we think
they put up with us. They're like Mark Maron and WTF. Like, skip the first 12 minutes. I love you, Mark Maron. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. They skip us.
We're going down a wormhole of shame. Okay. All right, let's say something positive.
You guys can pre-order our book right now on Amazon. Please go do that if you haven't done that already.
It's out next week.
Oh my gosh.
On September 22nd.
And then you'll be able to get it at all major retailers. OMG. Yes. There's a Kindle edition, print, hardcover, and an audiobook that is read by us. It's us. It's read by us. It's our audiobook. You need to get all of the above. All of them.
Let's just keep the conversation going on the social, shall we, Jamie?
Please do. Okay. Go for it, Robin.
You can get us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter and Instagram. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And we have a little community in there where you can listen and talk to other listeners. And you can support our podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. Don't forget you get the bonus content there. And you can subscribe to us.
Michelle Buteau's
on YouTube, where you can see recordings of our live streams. Don't forget our live streams are on Facebook at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Did I do it, Jamie?
And you can catch up on... Yeah, you did it. You did it. You can catch up on them, not only on YouTube, but we put them on IGTV as well. So they're everywhere. We are everywhere you can possibly find us. Just look for
everywhere
and
you never
find
asked us to be. That is where we are.
That's what we do. That is how we do. We want to say a special thank you to BetterHelp and all of you Patreons for helping to make this show possible. We thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you.
We really couldn't.
Truly. No, we really couldn't. So thank you so much. And I think that's about
it. Take a deep breath.
Anything else you want to add to
that? No, I think I just said a lot.
Everybody take a communal deep breath. Here we go. And in.
That felt nice. That was nice.
That felt nice. I hope you all did that at home or in your cars or
whoever actually
sitting next
to
your children.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.